This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Ethan Lane. Ethan is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, great to see you.
Great to be back with you.
Okay, let's talk about all things D.C. right now, because just about the time you say, I've never seen this before, somebody, I guess we'll use the old cliche, hold my beer.
Right.
We've had a few of those, haven't we?
We have, and you know, it's always funny when everyone says, you know, this is unprecedented in Washington, but if you go back far enough, there's always precedent for the kind of battles that we are seeing right now, the kind of narrow majority kind of cliffhangers that seem to be kind of the hallmark of the 118th Congress thus far. Obviously, we knew coming into this Congress that the debt ceiling was going to be a big issue. We saw that during Kevin McCarthy's protracted speaker vote at the beginning of this Congress. We knew the Freedom Caucus was going to kind of hold that up as one of their sort of major linchpins, and certainly that was the case. But, you know, he navigated those waters, I think, pretty effectively, got a deal that I think for a lot of conservatives included some big wins that were unexpected, you know, codifying some of the gains that we made on the National Environmental Policy Act under the Trump administration, getting those baked into statute. That's no small matter. Moving the needle on some of those work requirements for SNAP recipients that, you know, just 2 months ago were absolutely DOA, according to a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill. That's some pretty significant movement, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But nevertheless, you know, that marker that had kind of been put out there at the beginning of this Congress that the Freedom Caucus didn't want to see him make a deal or ever do anything that Democrats would want to vote for, you know, obviously was on full display. He got a majority of the majority, but he had to get more Democrats than Republicans to get across the finish line on that bill. And that is something that you're going to see, I think, the Freedom Caucus continue to hound him over in the coming weeks and months. But, excuse me, nevertheless, a pretty significant legislative accomplishment, given the dynamics, given the personalities at play. Certainly, I think, got more in that negotiation than anyone gave him credit for being able to get. And that's a serious accomplishment in this kind of environment.
Well, and I think something that's interesting to point out here, that Freedom Caucus is really focused on the debt and spending. How will that work into ag appropriations?
Well, we're already seeing that in the bill that's left the ag appropriations subcommittee that we're expecting to see a markup on here shortly in the full appropriations committee. That bill has a pretty substantial haircut for USDA, I think 30% across the board for USDA. That's a major decline in spending there. Now, obviously, that's offset with some of the IRA money and you know, things like that we've seen for conservation programs going into the farm bill. You know, they're looking at all these different priorities and kind of trying to balance what money gets spent where. So there's always a little more to the numbers than meets the eye. But to be sure, we're seeing bills come out of the House that are curtailing spending substantially, and that's going to play into that overall package, you know, going through the summer. I think it's interesting to see how quickly they're moving through that process. You know, we've seen some spending processes in the last few years that have either been late or, quite frankly, have never really gotten off the ground. You know, you get into the fall and you're expecting some kind of an omnibus, but they don't have the detail to work with. Instead, here we are in mid-June, we're seeing bills move through the House, which ostensibly means that'll give the Senate something to work on in the latter half of this summer. That's the way this process should work. But there's a lot of work left to be done, obviously, and you know, we'll see what the Senate does with those bills once they get them on their side. But progress is being made, and that's a positive thing. Whether or not it's enough for the Freedom Caucus as far as cuts and curtailing that federal spending remains to be seen. I get the sense that they're more concerned right now with whether or not there are Democrats in support than they are with a lot of the substance of those bills. And that's not a knock, that's just an observation. That seems to be kind of where their focus is right now. If Democrats support any part of it, then there must be something wrong with it. And, you know, that kind of seems to be part of the political calculus.
So, farm bill debate, I've heard it said from a couple of members now, this has got to cross the finish line this year. Mm-hmm. Before we roll into next year, we'll definitely have less money next year if we have to wait. Are you watching that same ball, if you will?
Oh, I think so. But the vote balance doesn't change next year versus this year. And certainly next year is going to be the heat of a presidential election. But the same fiscal conservative, I think, thoughts are going to be in control up on Capitol Hill. You know, even with a Democratic narrow majority in the Senate, you still have those, you know, those kind of hawks on the Democratic side. Joe Manchin, obviously, is going to feature into that conversation. You know, you have Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona that's found a lot of opportunities to cross the aisle. Certainly, I think there are other moderate Democrats who look at the political capital that some of their brethren have generated by stepping away from the conference on this issue or that, and looking at the utility of doing that on their own in some instances. So I think all that plays into that conversation, whether it's this year, whether it's before September 30th, whether it's in the lame duck, or whether we're having this conversation next year. You know, I think what we keep looking at is those vote totals. You know, you only have so many votes to play with in the House. Obviously, with Chris Stewart stepping away in Utah, until that seat is filled, that's going to create yet another, vote that there isn't any flexibility with. We're watching the George Santos situation in New York, obviously. At a certain point, he may no longer be casting votes in New York. That one is far more questionable, whether you'd be able to refill that seat with a Republican that's going to vote the same way as the Speaker would like on some of these issues. I still think that it's a tough proposition to get to the finish line in September on this bill. That is despite, I think, really Herculean efforts, both by the Ag Committee leadership on both sides of the Hill, but also House Republican leadership. I think they've taken this process really seriously. I think they've engaged stakeholders early. I think they've stressed how important this bill is and that they want to get it across the finish line. But, you know, all politics are local, and a lot of times those members are looking at their folks back home and what they think they want to see out of this or don't want to see, more so than, gosh, this is what's good for the congressional calendar here in Washington. So I still think there's a good chance we're going to be talking about this bill next year. But certainly in the meantime, you know, we all want to educate and help members understand why it's important to get this process moving.
Hope you don't mind me asking one more. You talk about what's happening back home, but the importance of trade to the industry. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely vital, especially to the cattle industry. Is that something you're watching as well?
Absolutely. You know, that's been a bright spot for us in the last couple years. $11 billion in exports for the beef industry last year is nothing to sneeze at. That's a big number. And you know, that's a lot of value on every fed carcass going through the system. You know, we have a lot more work to do in that space. Trade has not been a terribly popular subject, even amongst Republicans up on Capitol Hill in the last couple years. That fever seems to be breaking a little bit. There seems to be a renewed understanding of why trade is important, why exports are important. You know, a lot of commodities, I think, are going up to the Hill and talking about the fact that they want to see some expanded markets. It actually probably doesn't hurt that the president and his administration have been a little bit behind the curve in moving the needle on trade. You know, that's allowing some space for Republicans, I think, to recapture that issue and talk about why it's important. But certainly, we're hearing some conversations in a way we haven't in the past couple years, you know, talking about the need to start moving the needle on exports and expanding markets. That's great news for us. We want to continue to foster that conversation. That's a winning issue for our producers around the country. We produce the highest quality beef in the world. We do it with the lowest environmental footprint in the world. Every market we go into, you know, the consumers there want more of what we produce, whether it's South Korea, whether it's Japan, you name it. We produce a really popular product. So the more we can get that out there in front of people, the better off we are. And that's a conversation we want to make sure we're continuing to have up on Capitol Hill.
Ethan, it's always great to see you. Thanks for the time and the information and the work you do. We wish you the best through the summer.
Great to see you, Tony.
Ethan Lane is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Washington, D.C., and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.